Well, once again, this is Jim Rao, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. Great to have you in that listening audience. We come to you each and every Sunday at this time by the grace of God. We thank the Lord for 20 years now. We have been bringing these broadcasts to you, and we say welcome to you if this is your first time listening. And if you have been with us for many years, we thank you. We appreciate you, and we hope you continue to come back each and every Sunday. Make this a regular stop on your Sunday worship schedule. Today, we're going to be talking about finding your destiny. God will reveal your destiny to you if you seek Him, and if you ask Him, He will reveal it to you. And so this is going to be an important subject for those of you who are in the Christian walk, and for those who are not born again. If you're not saved, your destiny starts in the kingdom with your salvation. And so this is going to be an appropriate subject for everybody listening here today. So we'll take up this message, turn to Acts chapter 9. Well, once again, this is Jim Rao, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. Before we get into the message, just want to give you a brief update what's going on in Kenya. We're having an encounter conference this weekend, an Encountering God conference. We have 18 people from U.S., mostly from the U.S., and they're here for a week, and we're finishing off the week with this Encountering God conference, and it's going to be a powerful conference. They have 200 men coming from all over the Bungoma region and all over the Mumias region, and so it's going to be a powerful conference. And we're going to see men set free of all kind of bondage. We're going to see people catch on fire for the Lord. And that is the goal and the mission for this conference. Then they're going to finish up their time here, their 10 days here. They're going to finish it up at the Masai Mara, the big migration of the animals, the wildebeest and the zebras and all of those millions of animals come up from the Serengeti into Kenya. And so it's one of the great spectacles on the earth, one of the wonders of the earth. And so that is the way they're going to finish their mission. So we have a school project going. We invite you to participate, help support that school project that is in building a school. We're asking the Lord to provide $300,000 to build a primary school in Makunda. And this will be a school that will be open to all the village kids, children of other faiths, and so it'll be an evangelism tool in addition to getting these children a good education. So if you have any questions about that, pray about your part, contact me, pureprairie@hotmail.com, and we can get that school built for the primary school children of Makunda. Well, today we're going to be talking about your destiny in the kingdom, what God has planned for you, what God has spoken over you from the beginning. And beloved, when you understand that God has a plan for your life and He wants you to fulfill that plan, He wants you to move into that plan, and when you seek Him with all your heart, He will reveal Himself to you. And so that is God's plan, is that you move forward. Proverbs 15:24 says, "The way of life goes upward for the wise to keep them from hell below." The way of life moves upward for the wise to keep them from hell below. And so God's plan is for you to move upward, to keep going higher and higher as you get closer to the Lord, as you seek Him, and as you find Him, He will reveal to you your destiny. God created you for a purpose. God created you to bring glory and honor to Him, not only to have a good life for yourself, for your family, for your other relationships, but to bring glory and honor to God in your life, that your life will be a testimony to Jesus Christ. Your life will be a testimony to your confirmation, conforming to the image of Jesus Christ. The Bible says in the book of Romans that we are predestined to be conformed into the image of Jesus Christ. And so God's plan for your life, He knew it from the beginning. He spoke it over you from the beginning is to move higher and higher in the kingdom so that you look more like Jesus, that you bring glory and honor to God, and that your life is a testimony to what God has done in your life. Your life is a testimony to Jesus Christ. And so that is his plan for your life. And so we're going to look at a couple of scriptures here to see how this works in the lives of individuals in the Bible. And so I'm going to go back to Acts chapter 9. We were here last week talking about the conversion of Saul. Saul was on his way to Damascus, and Saul was a very strict religious man, had grown up in the religious system of the Pharisees in Jerusalem, had much teaching. He was an intellectual, and he was convinced that he was doing the right thing when he was dragging Christians out of their home. And in this situation, he's on his way to Damascus, and he's going to grab Christians out of their homes, take them back to Jerusalem, and put them in prison. And so he's convinced that he's doing the right thing. And the Bible says that there is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death. And so sometimes we get tricked by the enemy. Sometimes we don't understand what God wants us to do. And so we end up doing the work for the enemy. And that was the situation with Saul. He was absolutely convinced that he was doing the right thing, but in the end, it would have led to his death had he not converted. And so this conversion that he had on the way to Damascus is one of the most dramatic stories in the whole Bible. He's on his way, and all of a sudden this bright light shines in front of him. This words that he hears are the words that come from Jesus. And Jesus says, "Why, Saul, are you persecuting me? Why are you kicking against the goats?" In other words, Jesus had been prodding him, trying to get him to change his ways, trying to get him to see the truth, the revelation of Jesus Christ and his reason that Jesus went to the cross. And so some of you out there today, God has been prodding you with the goats, and the Holy Spirit has been prodding you and sticking you, trying to get you to see the revelation of Jesus Christ, trying to get you to see God's plan for your life. And so this is where Saul is. And Saul says, "Lord, Lord." And he knew that it was the Lord Jesus that was appearing before him, because he called him Lord. He knew that bright light had to be something very divine, very extraordinary. And so Saul then is blinded, and he goes to this place in Damascus, and the Lord sends a man to speak to him. And this man is called Ananias. And the Lord said to Ananias in verse 11, chapter 9, "Arise and go to the street called Straight, and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he is praying, and he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in, putting his hand on him so that he might receive his sight." And then Ananias answered, "Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call upon your name," or bind all who are Christian. "And the Lord said to Ananias, 'Go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles, before kings and children of Israel.'" And then in verse 16, "For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake." And so the rubber meets the road right there. Saul is blinded by the bright light, and God sends Ananias to speak to him, and God sends Ananias to lay his hand on him and tells Ananias that when you lay your hands on him, he will receive his sight. But Saul doesn't know at this time the revelation, the full revelation that God has for him. And so he's blinded now for 3 days. And God couldn't allow it to happen in just 1 day or 2 days. He's going to leave him blind for 3 days. And he's showing Saul what he must suffer for the kingdom's sake, what he must suffer for the sake of the gospel and for the name of Jesus Christ. And so God was revealing his destiny to him. He was showing him in a vision, like in a movie house, he was showing him the things that he was going to have to suffer for his name's sake. And so you can imagine, put yourself in the place of Saul at this point. You're seeing your destiny laid out before you. You know it's going to be a time of suffering. You know it's going to be a time of persecution. And I suppose he even showed him his death. And Saul, we know, lost his head in a Roman prison in the persecution by the Romans. And so possibly he even showed him his death. And so Saul had a very difficult decision to make, whether to accept this destiny that God had planned for him, or the other option would be to stay blind and to stay in his rigidity, to stay in his place, in his religious place, and continue somehow to persecute Christians. Well, beloved, I'm going to tell you today, if you're going to go higher in the kingdom, if you're going to seek the Lord with all your might, with all your strength, all your soul, and all your heart, you're going to have to give up something that is very precious to you. You're going to have to give up something that is valuable to you. God is not going to ask you to give up something that has no meaning to you or no value to you. To go higher in the kingdom, you're going to have to suffer with Jesus Christ. To go higher in your anointing and into your destiny, you're going to have to suffer with Jesus Christ. And so that's why Jesus said, I'm going to show him the many things that he must suffer for my name's sake. And so as you think about your destiny in Christ, don't get fixed on the idea that the Christian walk is just a piece of cake and it's totally comfort and it's just a bowl of cherries. And so don't get fixed on that, because if you really want to serve the Lord, it's going to be the opposite of that. Yes, you have personal peace. Yes, you have joy. But your joy comes with service to the Lord. Your joy comes with knowing you're in the perfect will of God. Your joy comes from knowing that you're doing what God put you on the earth to do. And many, many people in the USA, not just USA, but here in Kenya also, they don't really know what their purpose here on the earth is. They don't have a revelation of why God created them. And so the Holy Spirit has been poking them with the goads. The Holy Spirit is trying to get them to get in alignment with God's plan for their life. The Holy Spirit is trying to get them to move forward in their kingdom walk. And beloved, again, if you're not born again, if you've never confessed Jesus as your Lord and Savior, been baptized, that's where it starts. You need to confess, receive the blood of Jesus over your life. Maybe you've lived a wretched life or a very difficult life. That doesn't matter. God can clean you up. The blood of Jesus covers all your sins, washes your sins away, and you don't need to carry your shame. You don't need to carry all of the guilt from the bad things that you've done or the sin that you have had in the past. God washes all that away with the blood of Jesus. And so you can move forward in your destiny, but it starts with you accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior. But don't receive the message from some people that the kingdom walk is just going to be some kind of a wonderful Shangri-La. You're still a human on this fallen earth. You're still a human, and you will have difficult problems, maybe even more problems from persecution. Maybe your family will reject you. We see that very often here in Kenya, because we deal with people with it from another faith every day, and people have to make difficult decisions about how they come into the kingdom, about how they want to receive salvation, because they know it's going to cost them a lot. They're going to have to give up family relationships. They may have to give up their job. They may have to give up the place they live. All of these things come with a salvation decision when people are coming out of another faith in this area where I live. And so it's a difficult thing, and God is going to be there with you. The Holy Spirit will be with you and abide in you and with you, but it is going to be a difficult walk as you go higher and higher in the kingdom. There's more persecution and there's more difficulty that comes with it. And so it's not always a piece of cake. It's not always Shangri-La and the relationships that you have. Some of them you will have to sever. Others, you're going to build stronger relationships with Christian brothers and sisters, but other relationships you're going to have to break, and you're going to have to let those people go out of your life because they will persecute you and they will try to talk you out of your Christian walk. And even worse than that, they may come against you openly in different ways, either through slander or physical ways. And so the kingdom walk for some is a very, very difficult walk. And so I'm going to look over here in Acts chapter 13, and this is the culmination of Saul's decision back in Acts chapter 9, when Saul decided that he was going to receive the blessing and the prayer of Ananias, the scales fell off his eyes. And so that is an indication that he was ready to now move forward in his kingdom walk. He no longer had sin. His sin had been washed away. Jesus said, if you believe that you can see and you have sin, you really don't see. You still have your sin. But Jesus said, when you get rid of your sin, when your sin is washed away, then you can see. And so that is where Saul is at now. And we're going to look in Acts chapter 13. And this is where the first mission trip was launched from Antioch, where the Christians were first called Christians, where the believers were first called Christians, was in Antioch. And in verse 1, chapter 13, it says, now in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. And as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work which I have called them. And then, having fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them, and they sent them away. So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. And so the Holy Spirit is with these men. There's about six men in this group. They're praying, they're fasting, they're asking the Lord to reveal to them what their mission is, where he wants to send them. And the Holy Spirit spoke to them, and the Holy Spirit will always confirm. When the Holy Spirit speaks to you, it will confirm that what the Lord has spoke to you. The Holy Spirit will confirm it to another person or to a pastor or somebody close to you, because God wants you to be sure. And if you ask the Lord to confirm it, he will. And so the Holy Spirit spoke to more than one of these men, and maybe all of them at the same time. And he said, separate for me Saul and Barnabas for the work to which I have called them. And so the Holy Spirit already knew the work that the Lord wanted them to do. He already had them separated for the work of the kingdom. He already had them sanctified to go do this mission. And so the Holy Spirit says, separate for me. And so God will do that for you. He's going to separate you from people that are holding you back. He's going to separate you from your own unbelief, from your own lack of faith, from your own fear. It is God's will that you go forward with boldness, with confidence. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 says, the Lord has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and discipline and a sound mind. And so when you get consumed by fear, when you think about working for the Lord or going on a mission trip or going to Mexico or going even into a church or into a Bible study, when you get consumed by fear, understand that is not from God. That is from the enemy. And God's plan is for you to move forward in boldness and confidence, because God does not give us a spirit of fear. And so he gives you a sound mind. He gives you love and discipline, self-control, patience, all the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And so God is sending out here Saul and Barnabas for the work that he has called them to do. And then, having fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them and they sent them away, and they sent them out to Seleucia. And from there, they sailed to Cyprus. And so that was the first great mission trip, going out from the city of Antioch, where the first Christians were located. So when you see people on a mission trip, you know they have been sent out, and you see them with boldness, you see them with fire, you see them with zeal. And so it's a very encouraging thing to go on a mission trip yourself, and it's a very encouraging thing to see other missionaries, people that come, like we have this encounter team here in Kenya right now. People have come and they've got fire in their eyes and they've got a desire to serve the Lord. It's not an easy trip. 22 to 24 hours in flight, actually in the airplane, many more hours in layovers and making connections. So it can be a 32-hour trip all total. And so it's not an easy thing coming to another place. You deal with jet lag, you deal with time changes, you deal with malaria, have to take prophylactic medicines and all that stuff. And so it's not an easy trip to make, but there's suffering that goes with it. Just like the Lord showed the Apostle Paul that he was going to have to suffer for the Lord's sake, there's suffering when you go on a mission trip. You have to lay down your life and be willing to give up the easy life, be willing to give up things that you are accustomed to, your comfort zone, and so it can be a difficult challenge. Well, I'm going to turn over here and look at Mark chapter 10, verse 29, and we'll look at this here for the closing few minutes. In verse 29, Jesus answered Peter, because in 28, Peter had said, he began to say to Jesus, "See, we have left all and followed you." And so Jesus answers him in verse 29, and he said, "Assuredly, I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel, who shall not receive a hundredfold now and in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first." And so Jesus says, when you give up things that are precious to you, when you give up your time with your mother, with your father, with your brothers, your sister, with your land, your farm, your business, all these things that are precious to you. And as I spoke before, God isn't going to ask you to give up something that has no meaning to you. It's going to be something that is important to you, something has meaning, something you have a deep connection to, and it's going to be difficult for you to give it up, even for 2 or 3 weeks on a short-term trip. But to give up your life to do missions work full time, you have to really lay down a lot on the altar. And so that's the reason when Jesus looked out at the multitudes, he says, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Pray for the Lord of the harvest to send forth workers into the harvest." And the reason why is because there aren't near enough workers to accomplish what God wants the workers to do. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. But take note here in Mark chapter 10, verse 30, "You're going to receive 100-fold blessing now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands, along with more persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. And so the age to come is that eternity with the Lord. You're going to receive your crowns in heaven. You're going to receive your eternal rewards, not just salvation, not just heaven, but you're going to receive rewards after you get to heaven to reward you for all the works you've done, not according to salvation, but the works that you've done for the kingdom. And God will bless you. He's going to give you that 100-fold blessing, which is the fullness of blessing, the fullness of being conformed into the image of Jesus Christ. And that fullness is what you seek. That's the highest that you can seek, to be with the Lord, to carry out the mission, to carry out His plan for your life, your destiny. And beloved, I would suggest you do what Saul and those brothers did there in Acts chapter 13. If you want to go higher with the Lord, if you want Him to reveal His destiny to you, you fast and you pray, ideally with some other people who are also fasting and praying. You fast and you pray and you say, Lord, reveal your destiny to me. Have the Holy Spirit speak to me, show me, speak to me, or show me in a dream and a vision, and show me what you want me to do. Lord, I want to be right in the center of your will for my life. I want to be in the center so that I can do everything that you want me to do, and I can receive that 100-fold blessing, the fullness of confirmation, of conforming to the image of Jesus Christ. Well, Gather the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. We praise God for that. We ask for your support. We want you to come alongside us and support this radio ministry and the mission in Africa. You can contact us at Gather the Outcast, Box 92, Norton, Kansas, 67654. That's Box 92, Norton, Kansas, 67654. If you want to make a donation with your debit or credit card, go to paypal.me/gatherTheOutcast. That's paypal.me/gatherTheOutcast. Check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/JimRao and see pictures of the mission here in Africa. See what all we're doing here in Africa. Thank you again for listening. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.